are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
And I am elated to bring you our, I think this is our fourth show. We're really excited about the guests that we've been able to bring on. And for me, this week, we have a personal treat that I hope to make sure that it is a treat for everyone and the guests that we have on this week, Regina Sanders. I'll tell you a little bit more about her, but just to kind of set the stage. So first of all, thank you very much. The song that you heard as an introduction to the show is entitled Free Your Dreams. It's one of my favorite songs that kind of gets me up and inspired in terms of tackling the challenges and the triumphs related to pursuing purpose and in business and careers. And so I share it as an encouragement for you to go find the track and definitely, you know, put it in your, you know, listening, in your listening space. Take in the lyrics. It's a great song. The artist is Shantae Cann. She's a locally based Atlanta artist, and they were good enough to allow us to have the song be the theme for our show, and it's absolutely appropriate. So Shantae Cann, the song is Free Your Dreams, and you'll be able to listen to it in its entirety at the end of the show. So one of the things that we are, first of all, we're still coming down off the high of the conference from a couple of weeks ago, 2017 On Purpose Conference. And one of the things that's really important to us with regard to the conference is that we have an opportunity to showcase clients that have been in pursuit of purpose over the previous year or so. And so this week's show, we're going to feature our guest, one of the key speakers that delivered Inspired Talks at the conference on January 20th, Regina Sanders. Now, for me, this is going to feel like a friendly phone call between two friends, as that has really been the premise of our relationship. But it's my goal to make sure that it's a Finding Your Forte show appropriate conversation that we're actually able to share some nuggets that we feel like I personally think will be really inspiring, because her story is just that awesome and just that inspiring. I have known Regina since, that has to be around, Regina, you'll have to correct me when I introduce you here shortly, but around 2000, when I was with Accenture, and she was one of the bright and promising consultants that I had an opportunity to work with, and we established a little bit of a mentoring relationship over the years, and I love it when I have the opportunity to mentor someone, and then years later, that mentoring relationship evolves to either peer mentors, or then they actually get the opportunity to mentor me. So we have a complex relationship in that way, in that it has all dimensions of mentoring. And what has occurred since having had a really successful run with that firm, she's now gone on to take a vice president role with SSA and Company, which is an organization I've had the opportunity to work with and have a ton of respect for. She's doing a phenomenal job on the leadership team there and just doing great things leading their supply chain practice. But the thing about Regina is, you know, her accomplishments are so well beyond, you know, the boundaries of her, I can't really say 9 to 5, which probably more like, I won't give you the time, but it's actually the man in role. But I'm really excited to introduce to you all my good friend, technically my client, but definitely my colleague, Regina Sanders. Regina, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reggie. Thank you so much for that great introduction. And it was actually 97 when we met.
See, the thing that you got to know when you're friends with Regina is you got to have precision. You can't just throw numbers out there. You can't just throw numbers out there. But I had kind of saved this point that I'm about to share now for later in the conversation, but that just is a too awesome of a segue. So recently, Regina, very innocently, I'm sure she thought, and just kind of just being Regina, invited me to go watch the motion picture film that's in the theaters right now, Hidden Figures. And she will probably attest to, I don't know why, when I invited Reggie to go see this film with me and a group of friends from Auburn, why he had this emotional outburst. and why this was so moving for him. It's just a movie, but I got to tell you why it was so significant for me. So first of all, when I first heard of the film, Regina is the person closest to me that I immediately thought of. If you have not seen the film, please go see the film. It's
absolutely
symbolic in its statement of where we are as a nation. And it's an amazing story of these women that made significant contributions to our ability to put a man on the moon. And it is so appropriate for as a parallel for how to deal with, you know, when you've been gifted and you've been put in position to live a mission, literally a mission, a space mission. And I know we talk missions often, but in this particular case, we're talking a space mission. Like how to triumph above all of the infrastructure hurdles that might be around. And so I can just go on and on about that film. Definitely go check it out. But in my mind, when I think about the film, I think about Regina as an example, not only because of the film itself, but because a lot of her success has been a bit of a hidden figure. It's, you know, it's unless you are working close to her and in and around her, she doesn't boast often on some of the major significant things that she has the opportunity to lead and drive, and it's an actually just absolutely inspiring career to watch unfold. So, Regina, I'm humbled to be able to have you on this morning. I am grateful that you've been able to slice a little bit of your time, and I look forward to this conversation.
Thank you, Reggie. So do I. And I am humbled to be invited, and I'm even more humbled to be compared to or described as a hidden figure. I think you know that I could go on and on talking about that movie and the impact personally that it had on me, being a Black female engineer. You know, that movie inspired me in so many ways, and I feel as if each time I see it, it picks up something else that piques, you know, some emotion inside of me as well as some experience, and just really gives me that extra drive to continue to do what I do and to try to inspire other people along the way as those women did.
Well, those women did, and yes, you have as well. So you are my hidden figure, at least for today, and maybe we'll come up with some way to start a little club of hidden figures, because I really
great.
Do feel like in a lot of ways we need to get better about telling their stories. And so my contribution to doing that is this show today. We're telling your story.
Well, awesome. That's great.
So I'm really excited to have you share where things have unfolded for you in the last year or so. And I have had the, you know, amazing shotgun seat as you've been on this journey in pursuit of purpose that we've been really intentional about here in the last year, you and I began working together specifically around really partially discovering, but probably more than anything, affirming purpose for you, and then being intentional about, you know, cataloging through the Your Crescendo program, cataloging your passions, your gifts, and your motivations, and then taking those and layering on your the exemplary practices as a leader. You've been demonstrating, and your peers and clients have all weighed in on a process that's really given us good information about who you are, what you're gifted, what you're called to do, what you love to do, that I think has really positioned us to, you know, lay out a game plan for you over the short, medium, and long term that I'm really excited to watch unfold as you, you know, work towards your North Star. I'd really love to hear you share what that experience has been like for you.
Well, you know, Reggie, when I first contacted you last year, it was kind of a bit of a tugging because I've always been a fairly reflective person, as you know, and what the challenge in being a really reflective person is that sometimes it's really difficult to let others, you know, join in that reflection and share sort of their perspective. So it was a time when I was contemplating another opportunity, and I was like, you know, I really should talk to Reggie about this because, number one, Reggie knows me personally, and he also knows my professional path, and he's someone who's sort of been there and that I could learn from. And so when we had that initial conversation, I knew that, you know, it was an appointed conversation because it was exactly what I needed to really be much more, you said intentional, and I think that that's really the theme, but I also want to add in deliberate. You know, I feel like my entire journey has been an amazing one, and I'm extremely thankful for having achieved what I have and been exposed to the people and the experiences that I've had. But in some ways, I feel like it's been 50-50 haphazard and 50-50 intentional. And I have been really trying to be more deliberate in my actions. And I think in a lot of situations, you know, we always make mistakes, but we should learn from those mistakes. But then we should also figure out ways that we can sort of advance to the next level, because I personally believe that every experience that we have happens for a reason and there's a purpose in it. We just need to take the time to seek that purpose out. So the past year for me has definitely been one of discovery and rediscovery. It's allowed me to sort of look at myself from the outside in, except instead of from the inside out. It's helped me to look at myself a lot more objectively. I had a really good feeling of what my spiritual gifts were and a pretty good feeling of those things that I'm naturally good at, but I never really knew how to pull all those things together to really, you know, market myself as well as really take myself to the next level. And, you know, in that whole discovery, the whole theme of full potential came out. And, you know, my personal mission statement, as you know, Reggie, is to help people and organizations achieve their full potential. But I didn't really apply that to myself. And I think this past year's journey has begun to awaken my understanding and being able to see my own full potential through reflection, through having someone else mirror what they see about me and the things that I'm doing, and helping me to package that in a way that I can use it to my advantage, but more importantly, use it to the benefit of other people. And I've seen that manifest itself in my personal relationships to some extent, as well as in my professional relationships. So it's been a great journey of bringing things all together and becoming more deliberate.
You know what? You shared so many things that I feel like are significant and noteworthy just in those comments, and I'm really appreciative and humbled by the generous comments you had about our relationship and how that unfolded and the way that we worked through this, as you call it, discovery and rediscovery. But, you know, we cannot say enough. We could not put enough emphasis on. We could not bold it enough. We could not double underscore it enough. The importance of being deliberate and intentional. One of the reasons why this offering even exists, like why I felt like this was worthy of creating in our universe because it didn't exist today is that people don't give themselves enough credit. They don't invest in themselves. You know, we have some of the most brilliant minds in our colleagues. We see them, and they range the corporate, you know, the corporate structure, organization structures from, you know, folks that are new hires through our most esteemed executives. They bring the brightest minds to bear in the strategies that they formulate and implement in the course and the context of their work.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't take the time to do the same thing for themselves. And it is really fascinating to watch through this process that unfold as people go about the mission of framing up how to bring their full potential to bear in our world and the things that they should be very deliberate and intentional about, you know, what it is they're trying to accomplish with their time and their work and their energy and their efforts. It's just been phenomenal to watch that unfold with you. And I think you're absolutely the poster child for how that should unfold for others. I guess one thing, and, you know, maybe you can give me some coaching here, is, like, how do you get people to the place where they see themselves worthy of the time, effort, and energy and, you know, investment in themselves to go through this, go through the exercise of being intentional and, you know, framing up a strategy on the wall, very much like you would frame up for the organizations they work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you say to someone who hasn't quite, you know, taken on that exercise? Like, how would you suggest they get there?
Well, I think the biggest inhibitor for people trying to get there is that they get overwhelmed thinking of all the pieces that might not be quite right, and looking at, like, all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that are just laid out on the table, and you're like, how on earth am I going to, you know, put all this together? And the key to overcome that is to take a step back and just take one puzzle piece at a time, one step at a time. It can be a very small step. It doesn't need to be that lofty goal. Of course, you want to begin with the end in mind of thinking, what is it do I eventually want to attain and where do I really see myself? But start small. Don't get overwhelmed. And it's those smaller, quick wins along the way that I think can help people eventually get into a rhythm of being more intentional. Now, I think along with that, surrounding yourself with encouraging people. You know, one of my good friends always tells me, Regina, we have to level up. And, you know, it's not an elitist comment. It's just meant to say, surround yourself with people who have positive energy, who have strong conviction and faith. And I'm going to plug in here a personal relationship with God, because those are people who are going to be your encouragers and your guides along the way, because you're going to need that, because there's times when you feel overwhelmed or you make a mistake or you disappoint someone or you disappoint yourself. And sometimes it's kind of difficult to pull yourself out of that. So surrounding yourself with people and taking things one step at a time is a way to get started. And, you know, it's been a challenge for me as well. I mean, it's great to have all the accolades and say, I've done this and I've accomplished this, but all of those things are, you know, pieces of a whole that in some ways had some pain, some disappointment, but at the end, it was the resilience and the people who I feel that I've been, you know, blessed with in my life that have sort of helped keep me on that track and keep me with that personal conviction to continue to persevere no matter what.
Wow. You share so many very, really powerful mantras, and particularly the message around persevering through. You sound like somebody who's really focused on empowering people. So I definitely appreciate hearing the themes of that unfold. You know, I really would like to kind of take what we've started to frame up as you and your personal reflection and introspection and the experiences that it's been helpful to give you focus throughout your past year, and then we, as we know, we'll continue to do so in coming years. And then let's talk about how that shows up in your work in a range of ways. I mean, and you can pick the lane where you feel like it most shows up. But from my perspective, you know, when people are in ardent pursuit of purpose in their business and career, I think it really most shows up in their business performance, in their leadership. It also shows up in the way that they manage and navigate their career. And finally, it also shows up, well, not necessarily finally, but in another place that I've noticed, is that it shows up in the way that they manage building high-performing team and empowering mm-hmm. others. What are some ways that you've seen this show up within the context of your in the context of the way that you've done business?
Well, I'll say that there's a couple of examples. So there's kind of a peer-to-peer example from work that I like to talk about, and then there's also my own personal team that I'm building at one of the clients that I have. So on the peer-to-peer side, I think everybody on this call probably knows that managing your peers can be very challenging because everybody has their own way of doing things and everyone comes to the table with a certain level of expertise. So I feel like one of the things that I've gained from this process is being able to pause and recognize, you know, how I'm dealing with different personalities. And it also has helped me to come up with a good structure. Now, structure is something that's, you know, not too far from me because being an engineer, I'm a pretty structured thinker, sometimes too rigid at points. But I feel like the structure that going through this Finding Your Forte process has given me is to have a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more awareness of those people who I'm going to have to work with and how I need to get them to where I need them to be for the common good of the organization. This very specific example is in one of the roles that I have with practice development, but then also building out our go-to-market strategy for my current company across the different dimensions of work that we deliver. So Reggie mentioned earlier, I lead our supply chain practice, but then we also have a people and organization practice. We have a technology and digital practice, and we have an operations management practice and a data and analytics practice. So one of the big things that I was tasked with is getting all those groups sort of on the same page and more standard in how we work with one another to develop solutions for our clients. So that was a pretty lofty exercise to go through because all of those are very different people who lead those practices. They've been leading those practices quite well. So now for me to sort of come in and have them, you know, take a step back and look across what everybody else is doing was a bit of a challenge. But with that, it was more of meeting each person where they were, recognizing the good things that they had already brought to the table in their own personal practice development, and figuring out how we could pull those things together for the greater good of the entire firm. So that was an exercise in being astute enough to recognize strengths and weaknesses that everybody brought to the table, but also creating an atmosphere of collaboration and not dictating, you know, what needed to be done. And this process helped me see what some of my strengths were and how I could leverage those strengths and bringing those folks together. The other example is with my team. So I've got some fairly junior people who are on my team who are millennials but are very eager to be that front client-facing person as soon as they walk into the door. And sometimes it can be a bit challenging not to, I guess the word is, not to take them down a notch because you don't want to do that, but you want to, you know, at least give them an understanding that you don't know quite everything that you need to know right now, but you're going to get there and you've got the drive and energy to get there. But let's slow it down a little bit. Let's recognize the skills that you don't have that you need to have in order to be more effective in what you really want to achieve. And so I've taken that very seriously and a huge responsibility for making sure that, you know, my teams are able to do things that they really want to do, that the client needs, and bring their ideas to the table, but also sort of guide them through that process of recognizing when too much is too much and when to taper things down. So that's been really challenging but also fun because I've learned a lot about myself, because one thing that I can say about the millennials that are on my team, they challenge me, and they make me think about things, but then they also have developed a mutual respect that, you know, she's going to guide me, and maybe I need to taper off some stuff that I'm trying to do, and now's not quite the right time, but I'll eventually get there. So those are two good examples that I feel like my own self-awareness and just being able to observe those things in others has helped me work better with them to achieve our objectives.
You know, that's really phenomenal. I think that what, you know, many in your shoes and similar roles and organizations can take note of is how what has allowed you to be effective in your relationships with the team as you are forming those relationships is this that you care enough about them and their individual talents and gifts that you know are really intentional about the way that you tap into those and leverage those. And that, you know, what I remember stood out as remarkable as we made our way through this, you know, kind of discovery process in terms of framing up your forte was the recurring themes that showed up. Like, I'm often, when we go through this process, what I'm often looking for is where there's overlap between a person's passions and their gifts and how they're motivated. And for you, I just remember specifically this recurring theme of being strategic, in terms of, like, one of the things you were really passionate about, setting up strategy and getting things started to analyze and roadmap a path forward. And then this other theme around developing and motivating others. You know, a lot of times, a lot of leaders, frankly, do that as a necessity for their work, and it's not something that you're really passionate about. But it's apparent that it's something that you're really passionate about, not only in that it's a passion for you, but it's also one of your, you know, it shows up in your strengths and your, you know, after doing, of course, you know this, but I'm sharing this for listeners. One of your strengths was connectedness and relator, having done the Strengths Finder assessment. And then that one of your top priorities, you know, we go through the exercise of having people select the things that are most important to them, and then looking at choices, things like, you know, compensation or location or what your role is. When you looked at all of those items, the thing that was most important for you is that you were leveraging your gifts and strengths. And so it was really passionate, and it was really awe-inspiring to watch our plan start to frame up around those things that you were both passionate. As I like the trifecta that I like to call it is, you know, you love what you do, you're really good at it, and it rewards you. And if you take those, something that kind of sits on the intersection of those, which for you is empowering others to their full potential, and plug that in, that gives you the juice to, you know, continue to make progress, and sounds like it's showing up in the way that you're leading your team. I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that you mentioned, Reggie, you know, it kind of goes back to something that I learned early on that, you know, with my parents, I learned it from them, and then it was reinforced by other mentors that I've had along the way. The mark of a true leader is how well they empower the people that they lead. And that's something that, you know, might sound a little altruistic and esoteric, but, you know, that's just been something that's just been embedded in me. And I don't think that I'm doing my job as a leader if the people around me aren't developing as leaders themselves. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's easy to do those things and be good at things when they're a natural extension of who you are. And I feel like, you know, I have good friends who, you know, have certain things that they're passionate about, but for whatever reason, they haven't pursued those things. You know, I tell them, go ahead, do it, because, you know, if it's something that you're passionate about and something that you can be naturally a leader in, then you're going to automatically be successful in that. It might take some time to get there, but you'll eventually get there and you'll be successful and you'll be far more comfortable with who you are, and the real leader in you will be able to emerge. And because I know that formula works, that's the reason I try to instill that in everybody that I work with on my team, the peers, and even the people that I might report to. I try to make sure that that rings through in my interactions with them.
The real leader in you will begin to emerge. Wow. You speak in such quotables. I really appreciate having conversations with you. I think that one of the things as a natural segue from that is I would love for you to share, you know, what the experience was like delivering your talk at the conference a couple of weeks ago. Our producer shared with you before we came on, and then I haven't had to outside of notes, but I really would like to share with you my own perspective around that talk and how encouraging it was. But what I'd like to do is if we can, before you share that experience, I'm going to ask Mel D if we could take a short break so that we can acknowledge the sponsor for our show and give Regina a chance to catch her breath, and then we'll pick back up there after the break. Mel D?
Executive Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life, an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Thank you so much, Mel D, and what a great reminder of that. Up to Me has been a great home for finding your forte, and it's been really exciting to watch us both grow together. You may or may not know that Up to Me Radio is now what used to be Atlanta Life Radio, and so we're really excited about the new shows and the opportunity to bring inspiring stories through the podcasts that are available both live and on demand through this process. And so it's been fascinating for me to watch it happen, and I'm really excited and thankful for Up to Me Radio for hosting us. Regina, I really want to pick up where we left off before the break and share a little bit. Let me give a little context first. So in case you haven't heard me talk about this either on social media or on a previous show, we recently hosted a conference, On Purpose Conference. Really was designed to have professionals that have priorities around purpose in the way that they pursue business and careers come together for a day and look at how they're going to pursue those things through 2017. And we really look to try to put in front of them the voices of people that whose stories will be enlightening, encouraging, and inspiring, but also informative. And you know, one of the things that I feel like it's a bittersweet experience when you're listening to speakers that you find inspiring, is you get fired up about like what to do next, and you get excited about it as you listen to people share their insights on how you can go about unfolding purpose, for example. But then you're kind of left hollow when you don't get the how side of it, like what should we do next? Like, and so the design of this conference is really about putting in front of you folks that deliver those talks, but then also give it good in a workshop type experience where you can, so that you can plan for yourselves. And so we're really excited to have this year have a group of inspiring talks in the middle of the day interspersed with panel discussions from professionals that have been in pursuit of purpose, and one of them namely being Regina Sanders, our guest today. And so, Regina, I would really love for you to share, you know, having had the opportunity to hear your talk and be humbled and moved by it, you were outstanding. You know, I was there as you were getting prepared for it, and I knew it would be good, but I didn't know it would be that good.
Neither did I.
Definitely. I'm sorry.
I said neither did I.
Yeah, you were absolutely outstanding, and I'm excited about putting together the video. We're still working to work through the raw footage and put together the video, but we are going to see just how good you were when we have the opportunity to share at least highlights of it from others. But, you know, I would really love to give you an opportunity to share, like, what that experience was like for you.
Well, the experience was interesting and different and scary and all those things rolled into one, but at the end it was like super empowering. So I think that, you know, just kind of going into it, I've done speaking before, but not necessarily speaking where, you know, I've told my full story in a way that can connect with other people. I think I've just kind of done talks. And number one, I feel like the preparation up front that Reggie, you took us through with Paula and with Des Thornton, that was just phenomenal for me, because again, it's one of those things where being wired the way that I am as an engineer, growing up as an only child, I'm used to sort of doing things my own way and not really asking other people for help. So I think that it really helped me stretch a bit by getting coaching and guidance from Paula and Des as to how I should frame my story, and having, you know, just that initial conversation with Des where he was able to mirror back to me some of the things that I was saying, again, was almost that outside looking in experience again that helped me to contextualize, you know, kind of me and my story and how it might resonate. So the preparation was far more preparation than I've done for, you know, any speaking engagement, but it was preparation of something that should be easy, which is me talking about me and my experience, the journey. And it's a little bit more difficult than you might think, but I think that the prep sort of helped me articulate it in a way that became natural and not sort of like, you know, contrived. So that whole piece was good. Now, the speaking itself, you know, I was a little nervous going up, but, you know, it's also a very comfortable environment that the Finding Your Forte conference gives you. So I automatically felt like I was, you know, in a room of friends. So that sort of helped the nerves taper a bit. But, you know, as I was delivering it, it just kind of, I was up there thinking to myself, wow, this preparation really did help, but I'm just naturally talking about who I am. And when you start seeing the nods in the audience and the smiles from the audience, it just kind of gives you that next bit of oomph that you need to keep going. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of helped me rest into telling my story. And then at the end, being able to, you know, talk to some people afterwards and just kind of share, it felt good. And I feel like it was a great jumping off point and giving me that energy and push that I need to continue to pursue more things like that, but then also to just even become more comfortable with the person that I'm in, irrespective of whatever environment I'm in. So I think it also helped sort of fortify me being comfortable with me and realizing that it's okay to be authentically Regina.
Man, you just give us so many noteworthy Can we just take away from that? Just be comfortable being authentic, plugging your name. That we all need that. And I think that, you know, there's so many pressures that pull you away from that. But, you know, before I even go there, let me just say how much of an honor and pleasure it was to have you as one of the speakers this year. I know that your story is compelling. One of the things that is, you know, a little known observation that I've made, not just with you, but with many others, that that really kind of share this common denominator of being high impact and high performing in the way that you do your work, and then really modest and, you know, kind of reserved around the ways that you share that with others. And so, you know, I usually come along in those situations, and really my job is really easy. It's, you know, to amplify the stuff that you already have going on and figure out how to get that message to others. And literally with you, it was almost as if all I had to do was shove you on a stage and throw a mic in front of you and let you tell your story, and then and allow to be empowered and encouraged by that. So I really allow you, you know, to, even if only figuratively, thank you for allowing me to push you up there. Thank you for going through the process. You're absolutely right. Both Paula and Dez are phenomenal coaches and preparers in what they do. They're frankly probably working with somebody getting ready for a talk right now. They are definitely within their gifts in doing that. And, you know, I definitely saw no nerves in the way that you delivered. It was interesting because, you know, as you know, you were just coming in fresh from a vacation, so you kind of had to get the sand out of your hair, and
that helped.
You were fresh off a celebration. Yeah, I think that may be what we do from now on, is like figure out how to speak.
I think so.
Go on vacation a week before their talk. Like, it just kind of comes back all refreshed. so you were definitely there, and it was exciting to watch it unfold. So I look forward to sharing that with others. And thinking about, you know, how we make sure that we create that platform for others that have messages I think are noteworthy to share, you know, to share with the masses. You know, as we grow, we'll have opportunities to create those opportunities for others as well. But for you specifically, one of the things that we're going to be doing here over the next month or so is beginning to position your brand as a speaker, and I'm really excited about being able to share your profile and, you know, slices, highlights from your talk with others that might need speakers. And you have so many interesting and compelling initiatives that you're involved in. Your extracurriculars are just off the Richter scale in terms of the things that you've got going on, that I'm really looking forward to plugging into those and creating opportunities for you to even further share, amplify your message. You know, but in that whole theme of, you know, modesty and having great things going on, but not, you know, sharing. And I happen to know of some outstanding things that you have coming on that I would really love to have you share. I mean, in fact, this week you got something that you're going to do to represent Auburn University's president. And I know that if I prompt you enough, you'll share enough about it. So why don't you tell us what you got going on?
Well, so, you know, kind of going back to, you know, being involved in a lot of stuff, you know, folks who are type A like me tend to do a whole bunch of stuff and, you know, just seek just being involved in everything. And I had to kind of decide what I needed to prioritize. And I prioritized my extracurricular involvement into two organizations that have had the most impact in my life, one being my time at Auburn University. Everybody knows I'm a super Auburn fan. And number two was the National Society of Black Engineers, where I currently sit on the National Advisory Board. So, you know, that's where I really pour myself into. And with Auburn in particular coming up this week, I didn't realize this, but whenever there's a new president that's inaugurated at a university, the surrounding universities in that region are invited, irrespective of whether or not it's a public institution, a private institution, ACC, SEC, they all get invited. And one of my positions at Auburn is sitting on the alumni board of directors. And our current president at Auburn, Dr. Jay Googe, has a lot on his docket. And because I live in Atlanta, I was contacted to go and represent Auburn on his behalf at the inauguration today, in fact, of the new president at Emory University. So that'll be an interesting experience. I don't really have to talk or say anything. It's just more of being there and being present. But I'm looking forward to that experience, and you never know who you might meet. It's all about being open to opportunities and taking advantage of those opportunities and building your network. So I'm looking forward to that. The other thing that's coming up that I'm super excited about is we know this is Black History Month, and I'm proud that Auburn does quite a few things to recognize Black History Month. So at the end of the month, we are hosting at the university a couple of the survivors who experienced, and the Freedom Riders, some of the folks who were back in the 60s doing the Freedom Rides across the South, who were survivors of the attack on the bus in Anniston, Alabama. So we're going to have those Freedom Riders on campus, and I am going to moderate a panel to talk about their experience. And it should be pretty interesting, particularly in light of kind of our climate right now with the new president. It'll be interesting to get their perspective on what they experienced back in the 60s doing those Freedom Rides, how they see how things have changed and evolved and sort of where we are now. So if anybody wants to take the drive down to Auburn, Alabama, I think it's February 23rd, come on down and listen to that panel discussion. I think it'll be really good. It's only an hour and a hour, 15 minutes away. So I'd love for people to come and join us.
That's I'm definitely interested to hear, you know, kind of what they had to say. You're right. It's been a really consequential year, and we're in a really interesting space in our country. But it would be absolutely fascinating to hear the perspective of someone that, you know, of those that have been on that took up the mission of civil and human rights. And, you know, put themselves in a place where, you know, quite frankly, their lives were at risk, to have that same echo of a charge still, you know, occurring still today, and the encouraging messages that might come from that conversation. So I'm excited that they've entrusted you with facilitating that conversation and just moderating it, make sure that message happens in a really helpful way. And I definitely am looking to see what comes out of that conversation. So thank you. Thank you for accepting that. And for you, in terms of the inauguration that you're participating in today, it might just feel like, be there. But I think it says something really significant about who you are and the work that you, and what you mean to Auburn University, that they would send you to represent them at the inauguration of a peer university and president. So good luck with that appearance as well. You definitely got a lot going on. You and I have definitely been working really hard with regard to making sure that you're positioned to, you know, empower others to their full potential as a calling that rings clear as a bell, I think, in terms of like the focus that you've had. And so I'm really looking forward to continuing to watch that all unfold in the years to come. You know, one thing that I like to kind of wrap the show up around with an individual, you know, with someone, is to kind of do a pulse check with you. No, I did not prepare you for this. So kind of brace yourself for the surprise, but just work through it. But so one of the things that's really important to us is that when people have an experience, that they are impacted in three ways. That first, that they have clarity in terms of like what their purpose and game plan is second, that they have a plan to realize that purpose, and third, that they feel like they are currently in execution of that. And I often say that no one is the authority for any of those things more than yourself. So really the best metrics, and being a proponent of metrics in the way that you drive improvement at your clients, I'm sure you can appreciate this, that what is helpful to know where people feel like they are on this continuum. So let me just ask you, so like if I were to ask you in terms of just having clarity around your purpose, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you feel like you are right now?
You know, right now I feel like I'm at an 8, which is the highest that I think that I've ever really felt. And the reason that I can say an 8 is because I do feel like I am being more deliberate. You know, I'm definitely not, you know, all the way there yet, but I do feel like I've been more deliberate in my actions. I feel like I have started to pause a little bit more, particularly in recent months, to, you know, think before I speak or really consider things. And, you know, I think I'm developing more consistency in it. And I think that's the key. Consistency and follow through is what I always say to people that, you know, I look for in them. And, you know, I had to point the finger the other way and say, well, wait a second, Regina, you're asking other people to be consistent and follow through, but are you doing that yourself? And I think that, you know, in taking that self-evaluation and putting the mirror on myself, I realized that I haven't been that way, you know, as much, you know, with friends or with people to the degree that I require it of others. So, you know, I think that I've begun to develop more consistency in being deliberate, if that's the way to put it. So that's one of the reasons that I can sort of justify an 8 right now. And I feel like, you know, when you get into that rhythm, things just sort of start coming your way and you become more, at least I become more thankful because I'm recognizing that, you know, I'm not getting these opportunities just, you know, out of the universe. I'm getting these opportunities because they're blessings from God. And, you know, I want to be good stewards of that so that the opportunities keep coming, you know. So I think, I mean, I'm feeling really good about things right now. You know, I tell other people, too, that after going through the Finding Your Forte program, I feel like I, for once, have a short, medium, and long-term plan that is outside of the context of the organization in which I work. And I think that's important because I feel like a lot of times we are so driven within our careers to cut ourselves short and say, if this is what the organization tells me that I need to achieve and aspire to, well, then I'm going to set my goals and objectives to achieve that. And in a way, that's a good thing because at least you're setting goals and objectives, but I also feel like you're limiting yourself because, you know, once you understand who you are and your strengths are and your brand, then that can lead you to doing things beyond the organization that you're a part of. So I feel like that's another component to being at an 8 because I feel like I, for once, have that plan and that vision in a way for myself. And I know that there's going to be some crooks and turns along the way. I know that there might be some disappointments along the way, but I see my North Star, and I'm just going to continue to push towards that and surround myself with people, ask for help, and just kind of take it one step at a time and try to keep getting there.
What, man, what sage advice. I so appreciate you sharing that and for spending the time with us today. This has been an absolutely fascinating conversation, and it's one that where, you know, because of the frequency of conversations we have, I, you know, wasn't really hopeful of, you know, bringing forth anything new, but you've absolutely blown even that expectation. I so enjoy watching your life unfold and your career and the way that you pursued business and the successes that have come from them. And I think that you're absolutely someone to stand up as an example to model in terms of the way that you approach the work that you're called to do and pursuing your North Star. I just want to encourage you to continue to do that and just know that I'll always be here to support you in any way in doing that. And we hopefully will enjoy some good times and amazing accomplishments along the way. So thank you so much, really, just for being you, Regina, but for specifically for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Reggie. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you so much for, you know, being used in the way that you are to help, and I love the word that you use, amplify me and those other people that you're really helping.
It's an absolute honor and pleasure to do it, particularly when I'm working with you, whose efforts are so noteworthy, and really worthy of the effort to do that. So I, you know, with that, I want to close out our discussion. Thank you for spending time with us. I hope that anyone listening in had an opportunity to take away some of the nuggets that I really did from this conversation. Regina, thank you for those. And from here, I would love to just encourage everyone to, you know, continue to find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. We look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks.
Learning from my past, I'm counting.